Hey, everybody, on this episode of Box Office Breakdown, we are the best there is at what we do. And what we do is breaking down box office numbers. Let's do it!
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Wait, oh, there I am. I was like, no pun, nothing? We didn't claw our way to the top? Oh, come on.
Well, that's Logan's catchphrase.
He's the best. Yeah.
He's the best there is at what he does.
Oh, there, now I hear you.
And what he does isn't pretty.
Oh, okay.
There. Hey, everybody, welcome to Box Office Breakdown here on Popcorn Talk. Woo! Look at that. A little preamble there as we debate Wolverine bits. of course, we're the show that it looks back at the box office that was, and then we like to...
Sorry, I was just giggling. Guys, he said Wolverine bits.
Wolverine bits, everybody. We got a Wolverine bits out.
Yeah, prognosticate.
That's right. Very gentle prognosticate. About the box office that lies ahead, I'm one of your hosts, Frank Brennan. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Gary Lane, Wolverine bits.
No, and then he said that was gentle, and I was going to say, well, sometimes people like it gentle. Oh, wow. On a roll today. Hey, guys. My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And we'll have the chat up in a minute and hear your wonderful thoughts on Box Office Breakdown and our lovely, bad, and amazing puns.
That's right. So, yes, folks, you can also like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. And as Carrie's mentioned, you can subscribe to the YouTube channel and hop in the chat.
Oh, wow. Talking
yes.
a lot. Love it.
I love it. We're going to be pulling up that in a second. But before we get to that, you know, of course, going to the movies. I mean, that is one of the best things about doing that is not only do you get to see some great entertainment, but you also get a snack on something, too. Eating is such a great thing. Eating while you're doing anything is great, but, you know, the best thing about it is when you can eat from the comfort of your own home. You know, and when it comes to eating, you want to make sure you're eating the best that you possibly can. And to help you, Blue Apron is here because they are the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Their mission? Simply to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. That includes me. That includes Carrie. That includes all of you. So easy.
Such
an easy goal. That's right. Now, they do this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Now, Blue Apron can be delivered to 99% of the continental U.S. and 99.5% of food deserts. And because Blue Apron ships the exact amount of each ingredient required for a recipe, they're reducing food waste.
You can also select when it ships to you.
Look at that.
For your convenience.
That's what Blue Apron wants to make it as easy as possible for you to cook a delicious home-cooked meal. That's pretty nice. Now, cooking together builds strong family bonds. Research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly 3 times more often. I know, Carrie, you've been cooking some of the meals. Did you do it with your husband?
No, because I'm more the chef in the family, so.
Oh, yes. But are you like a little chatter? Do you guys chat while you're cooking?
No.
All right.
She's the exception to the norm. Well, I think they mean more like parent and kids cooking together, too.
Or,
you know?
Or a loved
it
one.
It could be, yes.
A husband, a wife, a partner.
Yeah.
That's right. There you go. Now, those who spend a lot of high-end restaurants or high-end grocery chains can now spend under $10 per person for a delicious meal. Now, look at some of these upcoming meals. Salmon piccata with orzo and broccoli. Pork chops and miso butter with bok choy and marinated apple. That seems intriguing.
That one sounds good.
Marinated apple. Never heard of that. A vegetable chili and baked sweet potatoes with crispy tortilla strips and spicy shrimp coconut curry with cabbage and rice. How'd you like the vegetable chili?
Mine wasn't vegetable, but it was the same idea with the pita strips. Oh, that one was pretty good.
Oh, nice.
And the sweet potato was nice. I think it was chicken. But I think you can make a preference of... if you don't eat like certain meats or something like that.
Like you can substitute, like I want chicken instead of beef or just vegetarian if I want that instead. That's where, now, not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a real difference, so it's important to know where your food comes from. And Blue Apron makes sure they kind of source all their food so you know exactly what you're making and where it's coming from. Now, what's great about that is that for less than $10 per person per meal, they'll deliver seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. You can choose from a variety of new recipes each week, or if you're feeling lucky, you can let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. Recipes are not repeated within a year, so you'll never get bored. That's one of the best things.
I like that.
A variety is the spice of life.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, as Carrie was mentioning, you can customize your recipes each week based on your preference. Blue Apron has several delivery options, so you can choose what fits your needs. And there's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. And each meal comes with easy step-by-step easy-to-follow instruction card and pre-portioned ingredients and can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. So look at that. It's nice. A nice home-cooked meal and not a lot of money.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Time.
Yes, and all the it's nice because all the specific ingredients are all like prepackaged too, so then you know exactly what items you need, and they have like a little card that has photos and then instructions of how to break it down.
Oh, look
so
at that.
So it's very easy. So if you've never cooked, it's totally doable.
Yes, don't let cooking intimidate you. Cooking is fun, mm-hmm. and it's easier than you think, especially when you get somebody like Blue Apron kind of leading you by the hand mm-hmm. along the whole way. So, you know, you can check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/boxoffice. You'll love how good it feels, tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. Get on it right now. But actually, maybe not at this moment. Wait till the end of the show. Then get on it.
Well,
stay with
free.
Us.
Come
then
on,
get
guys.
On it.
Who
That's
doesn't
right.
love free?
There you go. I know I love free. Mm-hmm. Now, that's blueapron.com/boxoffice. Blue Apron is a better way to cook.
Oh, Alba was like trouble in paradise for Carrie. No, I totally enjoy cooking on my own. Actually, I was talking to somebody else about how cooking, you know, some people just don't care, but some people it's almost like your own meditative time of like, I like putting on music and then like, I like the whole process of it.
Leave me alone. My kitchen is a sanctuary.
Yes, and it's a very small kitchen, so I was cooking my multiple meals because I got work tomorrow, so I'm like, I got a meal prep in a way.
Oh, that's right, yeah. I don't have time for chit-chat. It's all about my gotta get my cook face
then
on.
Then I gotta get to here. I gotta get to AfterBuzz.
it's tough being Carrie Lay, man. She's pulled in many different directions.
Yeah.
But you know what's not a work, a lot of work, but it's just simply a mm-hmm. joy, is breaking down the box office.
It is. Can we make the chat a little bigger, please?
So, hey, of course, as we're looking back at our top five this week, the number one film was also the subject mm-hmm. of our box office bet. We're talking about none other than 20th Century Fox's Logan. The last of the Hugh Jackman Wolverine films.
Yes.
$85.3 million.
I win the bet.
That's right. I went low with 70. Carrie had 90.
I had 90.
Neil in the booth.
Was very ambitious.
I was very ambitious. I had like 140.
Well, I think you had 114 because you were doubling the 70.
Yes, yeah, 140.
40. No, I was doubling. No, I wasn't.
Because he thought Deadpool did 135.
Yeah. Math. This is why I don't do
that. I thought Deadpool did 130. No, yeah, Deadpool did like 133.
Okay.
Now,
so I was thinking I was going to do more, but it didn't work out.
You know what, though? You're going to feel better because guess what? I was listening to the radio, and then they were talking about this. I'm like, okay, that makes us our bet a little better of like, oh, I understand. So Wolverine's $85 million for opening weekend is the highest opening weekend in March ever. So, it couldn't have been any higher than 85 on any of our guesses because no movie ever apparently has been higher than 85 in March.
Oh, look at that. And Neil, you said, like, in retrospect, you should have thought why Deadpool did a little bit better than Logan. And why was that?
I think it was because Deadpool had the very comedic ad campaign.
Yes.
In that, I mean, it's a comedy, of course, but it had an ad campaign that also targeted people who didn't know who Deadpool was.
Yes.
And they made it look like it was a romantic comedy, which was hilarious.
Yes.
Where they recut the trailer to make it look like it was a funny, like, romance movie, and then it ended with, like, Deadpool. And everyone's like, oh, Valentine's Day, this is great, I'm going to go see Deadpool.
So did that come out in February?
It did.
Yeah, it came out
right around Valentine's Day.
So I wonder what the record for February is of a movie opening weekend.
I do like Star Drew in the chat, though, about Neil's bet. He went nuts. 140. Just right there.
Well, the other thing, too, is Deadpool did a great ad where they made fun of Wolverine, too, which was just entertaining for everybody bringing that in.
Yeah, I guess I could, but debating
and it's something
whether...
new. Like, new there hasn't been a Deadpool movie yet, and, like, the leaked trailer, quote-unquote, you know, just gets people like, what? I gotta see this thing.
Yeah, I guess it's more about, like, the thrill of the new as opposed to a lot of great buzz about something that you, about a character and an actor that you've been really enjoying in that role for that long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I clearly though, $85 million. I think this one, and it's been getting great word of mouth. So
yes,
I think this was going to stick around the top for several weeks.
I think so too.
Yeah. Coming to number two was a film that I saw this weekend, Get Out from Universal, adding another $26.1 million to its coffers. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good. It was fun to watch. There's a few twists in there, and then there's one twist at the end where
don't say anything.
I thought they were going to go one direction. I'm torn to decide they went one way, and I felt like, well, maybe it would have better to go into another. So once you have a chance to see it.
I do want to see it.
And once Neil gets a chance to see it, then we can discuss these twists.
Lil Jen, I am doing Time After Time immediately after this. We're doing an 11 p.m. show for Time After Time this week, and hopefully next week we'll be doing it on Mondays, but stay tuned to my Twitter, and I'll let you know.
Yeah, and Carrie wouldn't let me do another time travel show with her, so I'm sorry. I'm sorry,
reject Legion. You could have joined our panel.
No, she said, no, Frank.
Frank didn't want to do another show with me. What? He's like, we've done too many shows.
I would do a show with you every single day. Get out of here. And Neil, I believe you're going to be seeing this film on Tuesday. Is that correct?
I'll be seeing Logan on Tuesday. Okay.
What about Get Out, Neil?
I really got to see it. You know, I was going to see it this weekend, and then I came down with a cold, and I just spent all day inside.
Yeah, I feel you.
I mean, you could have spent all day inside a movie theater.
Honestly,
I could. It's like a 5-minute walk from my house. I really could have gone. You know what? I dropped the ball. I didn't see it.
Okay.
I question your choices. That's all I got to say about that. Coming to number three was The Shack from Liongate. $16.1 million.
That did actually pretty well then, because we were like, I don't even know if it's going to make the top five. And I'm like, I think it's going to do okay. And number three. I mean, only at 16, but still.
Yeah.
Anybody in the chat seen it? I think somebody, Tanya mentioned on Twitter.
Yes.
But did they say if they liked it or not?
She said that she liked it. She wants to go back and read the book, and that she also cried a lot, which I think is a good sign. She cried tears of joy, or not tears of joy, but just you cry because you enjoy the movie, not cry because you're like, why am I here? Why is the movie still happening? So I believe Tanya did enjoy the film.
I just have like an inherent problem with part of the concept of it. So I'm like, ugh. And the problem I have is like, so guys, this is in the trailer, so no spoilers. So this guy's daughter gets kidnapped and murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the, should I forgive the guy? And I'm like, I kind of like, no. I mean, I understand that you should, but no. Like, I'm having that problem with Time After Time. If you know someone's a murderer, why are you keeping them around? Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Serenity in the chat said The Shack was great.
No, oh, all right. I feel like that's definitely one of those where even when it comes to me, I'd probably like record it and then watch it on fast forward. Maybe.
All right.
Coming at number four though, the Lego Batman movie from Warner Brothers, another $11.65 million.
Apparently, Table 19, according to Serenity in the chat room, said was good. That one, I caught a trailer recently, and I was like, that could be funny.
Yeah, I've heard mixed things about Table 19. Yeah. I've heard something good and some bad.
I think I only saw part of it, but I was like, oh, maybe. It's one of those, looks like it could have potential, but you're like,
Well, if we're talking about movies that we saw this week, and before we finish out the top five, I will say I did see, in addition to seeing Get Out, saw Fist Fight.
You were busy. What'd you see? I mean, what'd you think of it?
You know, it's funny. Okay. It's not like the greatest comedy ever,
right.
But it's an entertaining watch. It keeps it short and sweet, like just about 90 minutes, which I think is all you want from a comedy right now. And if you're going to call your movie Fist Fight, then you better deliver, and you get a good fist fight in this film. Mm-hmm. So
okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not going to break the mold, but it's an enjoyable 90 minutes. You won't like sit there and go like, what was I doing with my life?
Apparently, our people want us to be rejoined from time after time.
Yes.
Time after time.
Thank you so much,
and even
Tanya.
Nice throwback to Houdini and Doyle.
Oh, yes.
It's not as good as either of those shows yet. But I liked it, but I think.
Then we have to dig Ty Matthews out of somewhere around the world that he's traveling. And
no, he's back.
Is he back finally? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'll believe when I see him. Until then. And then coming out last for our top five.
Oh, wait. And you said Lego Batman.
The Lego Batman, yes.
Yes.
Number five is Before I Fall. 4.9. A big steep drop between number four and five. $4.9 million. So.
And then you kind of go, wow, it even made it in top five at four.
Yeah. That,
yay! They're probably like, we made the top five.
We just did it. We just barely eked it out.
Right.
Yeah, so Yeah, I don't know if I really don't have any desire to see Before I Fall either.
Which one was that one again?
Isn't that the one where the girl gets caught in the car accident and keeps kind of almost like reliving the day again? Like through the accident?
Oh, wow, now I feel like...
Yeah.
I probably should have looked it up and all, but today was busy.
No, go see Fist Fight. You'll enjoy it.
Okay.
No, I know it's...
I watched Secret Life of Bees, and I'm slowly going through Casanova with David Tennant.
Oh, interesting.
I'm not loving it. Sorry, guys.
Really?
I don't know.
Are you not loving him or just the story?
The vibe of it.
Okay.
Because it's like very similar to Doctor Who. Because it's all the same people. But it's just not getting my teeth sunk into it kind of idea. And they do it in young Indiana Jones style, where it's like the older version of him talking about the younger, which I'm like, I like that too, mm-hmm. and that's fun. But it's just, I don't know, something's off.
But I felt like with young Indiana Jones, I only liked it when he talked about the, like, Sean Patrick Flannery, when he was playing.
Oh, right.
When it went down ages. To super youth, it wasn't my favorite.
Oh, okay.
I'd rather see Sean Patrick Flannery doing it.
But it's nice to have some of those.
Yeah, I could have done with that. Because I felt like I just felt like...
Too young?
Too young. I felt like he could be more a protagonist as a teenager / young adult.
Sure.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's just my two cents on Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Someone said Groundhog's Day remake. Okay. And yeah, Secret Life of Bees is great, and I love the book, and I really like the movie, too.
Oh.
Yes, there's a Casanova TV show. It was a TV miniseries with David Tennant. With blue contacts, but that's okay. And he's Casanova, and it has actually some of the writers from Doctor Who, a lot of the actors. So
yeah,
I think it was first, and then they had Doctor Who something.
It
makes sense because it's like they had a lot of people. They're like, oh, we all work together. So, but I don't know, vibe's a little off.
Oh, all right. Much like Stephen Moffat doing like Coupling or Jekyll and Hyde before he went to go take over Doctor Who after Russell T. Davies. Okay, international numbers. Let's hop across the pond here and see that Marvel's Logan has shredded it.
There's your pun.
Boom. Yay! There you go. Hugh Jackman's final turn as Wolverine handily clawed its way to $152.5 million from 81 markets. This is their Fox International's third biggest launch of all time behind X-Men Days of Future Past. At $172 million, and Avatar, $164 million. Globally, the total is $237.8 million. So,
oof.
Not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, I know there's a big talk about both Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart kind of stepping away from the roles, respectively, after Logan. And then Patrick Stewart kind of backpedaling a little bit, saying, if there's a chance to do Xavier and Deadpool, I'd happily do that.
Oh, now Hugh has to step up and be like, me too. Did you see the meme? It was going around Facebook, and I hope you guys have seen it too. It's amazing. It's super funny. It takes you a minute, and you go, wait, oh. And it has Hugh Jackman. Oh, pretty much it's Wolverine, Magneto, Xavier, the young cast, and then the older cast. And it's like, how long did this interview take?
Yeah, that was nice. And
for a minute, I was just like, oh, because it's their younger... Okay. Like, you don't get it right away, because you're like, wait, what? Because at first you see the two images, but they're in the same seated positions. Oh, my goodness. It's so funny, guys, if you can find it.
And Ian's rocking, like, quite a scarf in that one, too.
Yes. Like, and they're wearing similar clothes. It's just...
I got it, because I know that's supposed to be coming up. We get a little bit delayed release of Graham Norton show. But that interview with Patrick Stewart and...
Yes, I
think it's becoming like this week or next. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, yes.
And also another notable news this weekend, Universal's 50 Shades Darker got another $350 million worldwide mark. They managed to cross that little benchmark. While Lionsgate La La Land tapped out another international total that's past $250 million. And Warner Brothers' Lego Batman movie built to $100 million plus their offshore totals.
So since it happened after our show last time, how shocked were you? Did you get to see the Best Picture win for
I did.
Moonlight?
Yeah,
did you see that moment?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So guys, when we were here, there was a good photo AfterBuzz put out too. So I was in here after our show doing some selfies, you know, promoting the show and all that. And there's people screaming out in the other area. And I'm like, what is going on? I go out there and it's the reaction to, they're like, La La Land, Moonlight. And there's this picture of everyone, like, look at the TVs, like, what? So that was awesome. It was a fun moment to watch.
Just like, much like that photo that they have of, like, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck and The Rock all looking all
their
like,
faces, like, what?
Yeah, like, what is happening? Now, as always, like to do the box office bet based on one of the films that's coming up this weekend. But we only have one film coming out big this week, Kong of Skull Island. So that'll be make it very easy for what our film will be the subject of the box office bet. But talking about that for just one second, been a lot of promotion going on for that film. Have you been enjoying the promotional campaign for that?
I have seen some, but I actually haven't seen a ton of it.
Are you predisposed to liking this movie or wanting to go see it? Or you're like, eh, whatever.
Yes, I am interested. I like the basic concept. I like the Jack Black King Kong movie, so sure.
Okay.
And then I think it's also named Kong. I'm like, I want to look it up now. I have a friend who's making they have a documentary. I think it's Kong Lives. And it's a documentary about the original, like, statue about...
From the 33 film?
Something like that.
Oh, interesting.
I will figure that out, and I'll let you guys know.
No, I'm digging it. And, I mean, so far there's been a lot of good word of mouth about it first, and that it's kind of done much better. It's kind of kept the running time a little bit shorter than... Certainly, like, I think, like, 60 minutes shorter than the Peter Jackson runtime. I think it's 110 and like 180, so almost like 70 minutes shorter than the Peter Jackson runtime.
I don't think I felt the one that came out was that long.
I mean, it's like, I think it's 183 minutes. So that's like,
do you remember
that's 3 hours.
Long?
Yeah, it's pretty long. I mean, it's really good. I like it, but Peter Jackson Kong is, it's like Return of the King Part 2.
Yeah, that's true. Like this, I don't know, I'm just about it. It takes place back in the 70s, which... I think that's what kind of gives that nice kind of Apocalypse Now kind of vibe to it when you're watching those trailers. Neil, are you excited about seeing it?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I've been following the trailers as they've been coming out. And the first one was, you know, kind of so-so. I liked how the monkey looked, though. But the most recent one, I'm actually looking at it like, hey, that actually looks... that was a well-cut trailer. That looks pretty good.
Yeah, that last trailer was really cool to watch.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited for that. I'll probably... I have so many movies to see. I'll see if I can see it this weekend, maybe.
Sure, Neil. I'll believe that when I see you next week at Box Office Breakdown. But a lot of there's only been like one poster that's been kind of eh. But otherwise, all the posters that I've seen for it have been really cool.
Yeah, wasn't Jack Black in it? Yes, that's what I was saying. I've seen
yeah,
that
good old
one of it.
Jack Black, Adrian Brody, Naomi Watts, Jamie Bell. But this one's got Samuel L. Jackson, John C. Reilly, Eugene Cordero, for those comedy fans from UCB, if you like him.
Long Live the King. There we go. Sorry, that took a really long time for me to find. It is a feature documentary about the enduring appeal of the character King Kong and how he has inspired so many great filmmakers and artists since 1933. All right. So it came out October 1st, 2016. So if you guys can find that, it's pretty cool. And I know the director of that. So they've been posting a lot about it. And then there was I don't know if it's still going on, but there was even a King Kong art show recently.
There is one over at Creature Features now.
Actually, that's the one.
It just opened up this weekend. So, if you get a chance, check it out during the week. It's a cool little shop here located in Burbank, California, pretty close to where we do the studio, where the studio's at. But they've got a lot, if you want, like tons of movie soundtracks and stuff. If you're looking for a lot of deep cut stuff that you won't find anywhere else, Creature Features got a lot of cool stuff there. Yeah. So there you go, a little plug for Creature Features. But they're also using this as kind of teeing up a whole big kind of their shared universe there along with Godzilla.
Yep, someone was pointing that out in the chat that could be interesting, Godzilla versus King Kong.
Yeah, which, I mean, you know, the original one was a little rough.
Yeah, people talking about if they want to watch trailers or not, if they spoil, I've been saying how they can spoil too much. This is very true, or it gives you the wrong impression, and then you go for, like, that movie that you think it is, and then it's not, and then you're like, But I will say, for the new Guardians of the Galaxy trailer, I want Baby Groot so bad. It is so, he's so cute and, like, small, and you're just like, oh my, I just freaking out. Like, when I was watching the trailer and you see him the first time, and actually, I think he's in one of the first ones that came out, not even just the second one, but have you seen it?
Yeah, no, it's, I feel like
it's
a
so
trailer,
cute.
I enjoy a trailer that doesn't, it gets you excited about the film, but doesn't reveal plot points. Or doesn't make you feel like you've seen the movie just by watching the trailer.
I actually think of the Guardian Galaxy one. That was actually a pretty good one for the new one. They just showed you cool moments, and that's it. I'm like, I have no idea what the movie's about. I don't care. These are cool characters, cool visuals. I'm going to go.
I feel like the same thing with these, especially like these last few Kong Skull Island ones. I've kind of just set like the excitement for it, but doesn't really give you any idea of where the story is going to go.
Right. I don't want to know. No. So don't tell me too much.
There you go. You feel the same way, Neil?
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Thanks, Neil.
Yeah, you pretty much nailed that.
There you go. Yep. I speak for Neil now. Look at that. but of course, before we get to our looking back at our top five, and then we'll do our box office bet, we like to do a look back at one of the actors that's going to be in our upcoming film. Since we only have Kong Skull Island, I decided to go a little deeper down the cast and find John Goodman, who's in this movie. So I figured let's take a look at the top five John Goodman non-animated films there to look at. Because, of course, Monsters University, Monsters, Inc., numbers one and two. But we're going to skip those and just look at the rest of those. So coming in at number five for him, 10 Cloverfield Lane, which came out last year, about this time, about a year ago, from Paramount, made $24.7 million. Did you see that?
I did not. I didn't even see the first Cloverfield.
You didn't need to see the first one to...
But it sets up the world, yes?
No, it's basically like Cloverfield is just going to be the almost like the Twilight Zone. It's like an umbrella.
Oh, okay.
So you could tell a variety of different stories, but like they just... At least as of right now, that it doesn't... There might be like... You maybe could connect all these worlds together later on.
Okay.
But at least right now,
so
they're just like...
if you had never seen Cloverfield in 10 Cloverfield Lane, they would explain what's going on outside?
Oh, it's like two separate... At least as of right now, two separate worlds.
Oh.
Yes. So like two different stories.
Why they
picked
the same...
It's an anthology series. Yeah. Is how they explain it.
Yeah, so like but they're not connected at all?
At this time, they don't seem to be connected, but there's theorists online that are like, ooh, they could connect if they did this and this. But we're not going to find out probably until the third one comes out. I think that's this year, actually.
Yeah, I will say that they're really great about like being very quick about like just dropping it on you. You don't even know it's coming out, and then boom, all of a sudden a trailer's coming out like about a month before it's supposed to be released. Which I think I like that more than knowing... Like for years.
Far in advance, right?
Neil, did you see 10 Cloverfield Lane?
I did. Actually, it was one of my favorite movies of last year.
Oh.
I thought it was absolutely fantastic. And John Goodman was amazing in that movie.
All right.
No, it's a fun watch. If you get a chance to check it out, I don't think you'd be disappointed.
I'll put it on my library list.
All right. Coming in at number four, Flight, back from 2012 from Paramount. $24.9 million, directed by Robert Zemeckis with Denzel Washington. I did not see that. No.
I'm like, nope.
Nope. Coming in number three, The Flintstones from Universal back in 94. Yeah.
As a kid, I loved it. I thought it was cool. But as a kid, it was a cool movie.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, I don't know if you could find anybody else that...
That casting, I think maybe some people are like, no. But I'm like, I was like, yeah. I watched the cartoon and the movie. I was never like, oh my gosh, wrong people.
Did you think Rosie McDonald made a great Betty?
Sure.
Rick Moranis. And then what's her name from Big? Elizabeth. Oh. Whatever her name is. Yes. But she playing Wilma.
Yeah. I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
Did you not like
it? I don't know. I feel like...
I mean, at that time, I feel that was good casting for maybe who was Big at that time.
Yeah, I don't know. I felt like Betty... I thought Betty was a little sexier.
Oh, you're more of a Betty than a Wilma fan.
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. There's something about Betty. I mean, there's,
Rosie doesn't do it for you?
No.
She looked good in that movie.
She looked fine, but... Yeah.
Okay, I can see that if you thought of that character more sexy than...
Yeah, I don't see Rosie McDonald as a sex symbol to me. Yeah, and that was before, like, you know, whatever issue, but she never, like, was one of those, like, yeah, Rosie McDonald, yeah. Coming to number two, Evan Almighty from Universal back in 2007. That movie's fine.
I really enjoyed Bruce Almighty. Evan, there's just some of it that I was like, I remember being like, meh.
It was an interesting idea to like make a sequel out of that that film and then choose that character as somebody you'd want to tell that story with.
So,
because I felt like, other than him, because he leaves his career as a reporter behind at the beginning of the movie. He's already become involved in politics. So, I felt like he could have just been any character in that movie. Because you're basically just like, I know, we're just starting from scratch, and now this person's going to meet God.
There you go. Like Hugh, I had a crush on the cartoon Betty as a kid. Did you have a crush on Betty?
That's right. I'm with you, Hugh. I was like, yes. Hello, Betty. And then coming in number one here for John Goodman, The Hangover Part 3 from Warner Brothers, 2013, $41.6 million.
I didn't even see number two.
Really? Number two is frustrating. I guess people either really like it or they really dislike it because it's such a direct lift of the first one. It just gets really annoying. So third one's fine, but I felt like after the second one, I was really kind of burnt. So my expectations were very low going into the third. And then it was fine.
I saw the first one. I saw it with an audience. And I was like, when am I supposed to laugh? Oh, this is when I'm supposed to laugh. And I'm like, it's not funny. Like, it was a fine movie, but it wasn't a good comedy.
I feel like sometimes sometimes it's great to watch a movie with a crowd. I guess it's tough to watch a comedy with a crowd because sometimes you're not on the same page as the rest of the crowd. So when they're laughing at stuff and you're like, wait, what is this supposed to be funny? And then you kind of feel like,
specifically picked people that if there's a movie that I haven't thought was funny, I'm like, and then someone I know does, I'm like, okay, I need to watch it with you because I need to see when I'm supposed to be laughing. Because I'm like, I don't know. Because I worked at Blockbuster when it came out and, you know, people are like, oh, is it good or not? And I was like, for me, but then there was a group of people that were just like, it wasn't for them. But She's Out of My League came out at the same time, and that one I was like, love that one. So that one I was like, that's really funny, but I think that one was pretty underrated. Did you see that?
Which one was She Out? She's Out of My League.
Neil, did you see She's Out of My League?
I can't remember. I may have.
Oh, but okay. It's a nerdy. Oh,
is it the girl that has to dress like a boy?
No. It's what is the nerdy guy who voices Hiccup in How to Train Your Dragon?
Oh, Jay wait, Bruchel. He's the TSA attendant. Yeah. Yes, I did see that movie. Yeah,
I thought that was funny, or at least it had like wittier banter and like very witty banter, and that's what I thought was funnier.
It was better than I thought it was going to be.
Okay,
because it gave the appearance like I don't know, but it actually turned out to be funnier than I thought. With
Alice Eve, yeah.
Alice Eve, yes, yeah. From Star Trek, not Wrath of Khan, Into Darkness.
It just was a more refreshing romantic comedy that some other ones are like, meh, and like they don't deal with the, like, here we're going to throw a wrench in the in the relationship. They don't dwell on that too long. Like, most movies are like, everything's great, problem, and sit there for too long. And I'm like, no, I like that they keep going. Yes, thank you. Alvin Chat says it was charming. It is. It's charming and it's funny.
Look at that.
Just saying.
So, folks, before we do our box office bet on Kong Skull Island, we're going to do our top five pick for the box office this next week. Now, of course, the only new addition that we have is Kong Skull Island. It's coming out wide, so I don't know exactly how many theaters it's coming in. But just as a kind of a ballpark here, the 2005 film did $50 million, and the 1976 film, because that'll be really helpful to our predictions right now, did $7 million. No.
Oh, and then someone was they were saying for John Goodman, Babe. Yes. That was a good one. Oh, and Can't Hardly Wait. I like that movie a lot, too.
That's really good. Yeah, I did not enjoy that one.
All right, Kong Skull Island. And it also has
Brie Larson.
No.
What's
the dude?
Oh, Thomas Hiddleston.
There we go. I saw a movie. I was kind of wondering if he was going to be. Oh, I watched Real Steel and I liked it.
Yeah.
By the way.
See? Yeah.
I did get that one. It was cute.
Man, at the end, Evangeline Lilly is watching Hugh Jackman and he's just in there and he's just I started getting a little tear. Oh,
right.
Man. Yep.
Tanya asked in chat, no, I have not seen Decoy Bride, but I will look that up. Oh, there was a good video going around on Facebook that was a David Tennant tribute. He was in an award show.
Yes.
So that's what made me want to go get Casanova, because I'm like, I haven't seen that. So that was really cute. If you guys like David Tennant, that's a really good bit to watch. But yes, I watched Real Steel. But the thing that's funny is right before it, a lot of the trailers had Tom Hiddleston in it. So then I'm like, is he going to be in this movie? Because there's like three trailers with him on it, like before that movie started.
No, it's
so it's great. But yes, I liked it. It's a cool idea. And
it just makes you really just empathize with these, just these robots. You really just project their emotions onto them. So it gets you right there at the end.
And
just watch me. Watch me. Watch me. I could see Hugh Jackman do that all day. Okay, that was enough of that. All right.
We'll let you have your moment.
That's right. Okay. So anyway, what do you think? Kong Skull Island, can that top knock Logan off the top hit?
No.
You don't think so? I mean, I feel like there's been such a amount of publicity about this.
No.
You don't think so?
Yeah.
All right.
This week's losers have to watch Battlefield Earth and the Rumors of the Future. I have seen Battlefield Earth, and I didn't hate it.
What? What?
Really? I remember seeing that in theaters, and I in my small movie theater, and I didn't hate it. No.
What? Really? No.
I can't take it seriously.
Oh, can't take it at all. Oh, that's crazy. Carrie Lee, you like that? Wow. Carrie, what I love about Carrie Lane is that you, a constant source of surprise to me. I love it.
Okay. I mean, there's plenty of movies that I can definitely not enjoy, but there's a lot that I can be like, yeah, fine.
Like Forrest Whitaker? I mean, he's great, but he's in Battlefield Earth. And I feel like that just... that.
Even I don't remember him even, in it.
See? That's right. That's a problem.
Well, I mean, I saw it when it came out, mm-hmm. and I haven't seen it since then. And when I saw it... yes, I did go to the theater for that movie. I had a 5-screen theater growing up. Actually, it was 3 screens. Then they got 2 more. I remember going there. And actually, we were talking about Anastasia last week. I remember that was one of the early movies I saw all by myself.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Legend agrees with Carrie. Yay!
Oh, nice.
I've been on that media shot. Carrie's been on the cider again. Oh, he said, me, Carrie, to be honest, it's not that bad. See, you know? Yes.
Hugh, come on, buddy. It's
and then
okay.
People are asking about what happened to Jennifer Love Hewitt. Good point. She had a TV show. She had the Ghost Whisperer show.
Yeah.
I did background on that once or twice. Look at that. But I think she had her, like, you know, there are some people that just kind of have, like, their golden years of a bunch of films, and then they kind of stop. Either maybe by choice, or they just don't really get in.
Yeah, and then she did a couple seasons on Lifetime for that. She played, like,
that's
a call
what somebody
girl.
Said, yes. Yeah.
But then after that, I think, you know, she's probably just enjoying life. I know she had a
someone
family.
Someone mentioned, yeah, she had a baby, so she had a family. Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
All right, Carrie Lane, your top 5.
Okay, I'm going to go with Logan, Skull Island, Get Out. Question is, does the Shaq stay or go down? Lego Batman and then The Shack.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So yep. Before I Fall has now fallen off the top 5.
It has now fallen off the top 5. Yes.
Neil, what do you think, sir?
I'm pretty much going to keep it the way it was this week, but throw Kong into that top spot.
Oh, it's, okay. So you're believing Kong will dethrone mm-hmm. Logan?
I think mm-hmm. so. I think so. I mean,
ooh,
Kong made 85, but, I mean, sorry, Logan made 85. Mm-hmm. I think Kong might do, like, just a little bit higher than that,
ooh.
But that'll be enough, or maybe the same amount, but that would be enough to take it over during the second week drop.
Because I think there's just, like, a difference in, like, the way the Logan film, which has been great,
well,
but the way that it was promoted, it was just kind of like a slow build, kind
what's
of like.
What's it rated? Is it a PG-13?
I can't remember. I bet you it's got to be.
I believe Kong is PG-13.
Okay. Yep.
So, but I just feel like you're seeing just like a more of a like a slow piece with some cool action. But I feel like in the Logan trailers, but I feel like the Kong has just been about like, man, you know you get to see that monkey up close and personal right away. There's no like hiding the...
There is kind of a built-in audience in a way with that too. But I think I'll just...
All right.
Adelia goes, Kong, Logan, Get Out, Shaq, and Lego.
I'm with Adelia. I'm with Neil on that. I believe that's going to be my order as well. I think Kong can do it. As much as I love Logan.
Oh, Hugh says it's rated R.
Oh, all right. Well, then that's cool, too.
I'm more excited then.
Oh, you want to see that monkey getting
freaky? Now Sky says it's PG-13. All right, Hugh, you can't be throwing us off like that.
Oh,
there you go.
Hugh.
At least you said you're sorry. So sorry, Neil, what was your order?
I had Kong.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? Kong, Logan, Get Out, and then the Lego movie, Lego Batman, and then The Shack.
Okay.
I think they're going to switch.
Oh,
so you're
right
with me except for the Logan Kong. Okay.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, before we wrap up, we've got a box office bet to do. Now, of course, as always, we're all going to bet on what we think the opening box office will be for the film of choice. Usually we have the chat room pick it, but since there's only one film to consider, We'll be doing Kong Skull Island this week. Of course, the loser will have to go see this film and tell everybody about it. Again, I feel like this is in no way a punishment because I'm excited to see this film and be seeing it regardless. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So with that, though, let's place our bets.
Oh, wow. Okay. Legion says, Logan, Kong, Lego, Get Out, and then The Shack. Oh, you think Lego's going to bump up? All right.
Interesting. Okay.
But I like that you're thinking the same thing about Logan.
Hmm. All
right. Oh, yeah. So we got to make a number for it. Well, you guys think it's number one, so your number should be higher than mine.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Well, Wolverine did 85.
Okay.
All right. Neil, are you locked in, sir?
I am indeed.
All right. Carrie Lane, would you like to reveal your bet?
38? Well, if I have Logan as number one.
Oh, yeah. All right.
That's why.
38? Okay.
I went with 75.
Woo!
Neil?
I'm actually going to travel Back to the Future with 88.
Oh! Woo! I love it. Neil swinging for the fences.
All right. I like hoping. I like wishing.
Yeah. All right. I feel like...
Sky says Skull Island, Logan, Lego, Shaq, and then John Wick come back.
Ooh, this is going to be tough. Like, a lot of people are saying $48 to $50 million for King.
Ooh.
For Kong, so
15 to 20 for okay, that's
ooh, well, interesting. Ooh. Oh, Lee okay. Jen, 15 or 20. Oh, Lee Jen.
Serenity says Kong, Logan, Get Out, Shaq, and Before I Fall. All right,
our media Shaq says Lock Me In and Alvin for
61.7.
Ooh, all right,
okay, can I bump up to 40?
Man, Sky Patterson and I, man, we're right again. That's 75 million. All right, so be very curious.
Lionel thinks you jumped a little high there, Neil.
I like jumping high.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go low because I did, you guys both did say it's going to be number one. So if I think it's number two.
Okay. All right.
Because if Logan goes down 50%, which it may or may not go 50 the first week, that's at like 42. And if Kong, I put Kong at 38, just saying.
All right. Well
Lionel says 42. All right. Closer to my number. Haha, 75 is bananas. I like that. Good pun.
Alan says $20 million for Kong. You're out of your mind. Mm. So, Carrie, we'll see you at the theater, I believe, next week.
Probably. I'm going to try to. I've wanted to go. I've been stuck on nurse duties at home, so I can't, like, leave.
That's true. This might be the perfect thing, like, the first foray out. I have to get him back acclimated to the public.
You know, it'd be nice.
There you go. Please.
That's why video's at home. It's easier.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to wrap this up because Carrie Lane, she doesn't stop.
No.
She's going to go from this right over to the Time After Show here. So we got to get her out of here because she's got to talk time travel and H.G. Wells.
Yes. And Beauty and the Beast is like the following weekend.
And then Power Rangers after that.
I'm actually excited about Power Rangers.
I'll be curious about that one. So March is coming up with a nice bumper crop of films. And they're nice and spaced out, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So you feel like every week you can get excited about going to the movies. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it. Thank you so much to Neil, as always.
Hey, no problem, guys. I like hanging out. I like having fun.
Oh, well, that's great.
Well, we like you.
So, folks, as always, thanks everybody for hopping in the chat. We really appreciate it. You make the show so much fun for us to do. You can always like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And if you're watching this afterwards, you can always, as Carrie Lane, I'm not even going to steal this from Carrie Lane. Carrie Lane, what can they do? If they're watching this after the show's over.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I want to steal your bit.
Fine. I was like, wait, I'll just draw it out to make it more awkward. No, anyway. if you guys are watching this later, please feel free to comment down below on your predictions on what will be the top 5 for next week, how much money they'll make, and any other new trailers you're excited about.
And just also why Carrie Lane still really likes Battlefield Earth. That amazes me.
Okay. That'd be another one, too. I think we asked it last week, too, but what are some of your favorite, quote-unquote, bad movies you actually like?
So, folks, if you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show's over, Carrie Lane, where can I find you?
Yes, you can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. On Twitter and Instagram and on Facebook at Carrie Lane Actor.
That's right. And in just a matter of minutes, she'll be on the AfterBuzz breakdown.
Time After Time.
That's right. Folks, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Just look at the pictures of food I put up on my Instagram feed. That's basically all it's there for right now. Neil, again, thank you so much, everybody.
Yay!
We'll see you back here next week.
See ya.
Take care, everybody. Eat popcorn.
It's like you're taking too long.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.